Well, good evening, saints. Yeah, I knew we'd eventually get to it. All right, y'all ready for another vitamin tonight? Another spiritual vitamin. I want you to put on your imagination for just a minute. Tomorrow morning you get up and everything is normal. You putzing around the house and you look out the window and there goes the mailman down the street. He just left your mailbox. Okay, I'll go out and I'll get the mail. And you walk out to the mailbox and open it up, and along with all the flyers from Aldi's and Winn-Dixie and all the other junk mail, here is an actual letter. You know, one of them things we used to get with a stamp on it? And you pick up this letter and you look at it, and it's from the law offices of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, attorneys at law. And you open up this envelope and you begin to read, and you have now become an inheritance of multiple millions of dollars. Well, after you have fainted and recovered from the shock, probably you will move into a new quality of living, just because now you have a new capacity for living. Well, you know, the strange thing about this next spiritual vitamin, our daily inheritance, is that these new things, like your physical inheritance would have brought you, they have come to pass in your lives, and these things come to pass on a daily basis. You can now experience a new quality of living because now you have a new capacity for living due to your new resources. But so many still go on in their, believers that is, go on in their pre-inheritance lives, thinking that the maturity and the victorious Christian life is some kind of super deluxe edition instead of normality. They've never learned the secret of a changed life, which is an exchanged life. They're because they're so busy enduring their failures that they have no time to enjoy their faith. They've never learned how to be what, as a born-again Christian, that we have become. They still live in the same spiritual shack. They still seem to wear the same spiritual rags and engage in the same drudgery of daily survival and just pure existence. When all the while, they're spiritual millionaires, and they don't even know it. It's probably, I think, one of the saddest states in all of Christendom, that we have multitudes of believers in the churches today that are spiritual millionaires, and they don't know it. I remember one time, y'all remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? And I'll make it short. He told the story of a man in Australia who lived in poverty all of his life. He lived in a shack made out of blocks of mud. And he lived his life the best he could, just getting by. And he died. And whoever it was that had gotten this block of land and his hut made of mud, that these blocks of mud were filled with gold flakes. And all the time, and this is a true story, it's the rest of the story. All the whole time of his life, he was a millionaire, didn't even know it, and lived in a house of mud, literally. Turn over into Ephesians. We're going to take you to three or four scriptures tonight. In the first chapter of Ephesians, in verse 11, and I'm reading everything from the Amplified, as I usually do. And Paul starts out in verse 11, in him. How many times have we seen this in the scriptures? In him. I think that's pretty important. Paul wants you to know that you and I are in him. And he says, in him also we have received an inheritance, a destiny we were claimed by God as his own, having been predestinated, that is, chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purposes of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and the design of his will. Now, going down to verse 14, it says that the Spirit is the guarantee, that is the first installment, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchase, possession in his believers to the praise of his glory. This guarantee of inheritance means the first installment. Now, John in the 14th chapter tells us that now the Holy Spirit is the one who represents Christ in our daily experience. And then over in Romans it tells us that Christ is indwelled in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, pointing us constantly to Christ and who he is on a constant basis. And the Apostle Paul lived up to this inheritance that he had received from God and the inheritance that he possessed. And he learned, and he tells us in the first chapter of Philippians, that for me to live is Christ, the Christ that was in him. Then he went on in Philippians and he tells us that he can do all things in himself. No, in Christ. I can do all things in Christ. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, as we read his epistles, drew heavily on his spiritual resources, but he never got overdrawn, did he? Never got overdrawn. And you know what the Lord did for Paul, he can and will do for us in our experience. God is no respecter of person. He just wants your heart to be as dedicated to him as the Apostle Paul was. Paul's inheritance was no greater than yours or mine. And if by faith we continue to realize that the infinite riches and resources we have by the indwelling Christ. And stay in Ephesians in the first chapter. Let's first look at verses 6 and 7. He says, to the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, that is in his Son, Christ Jesus. In him, I like that again. In him, we have redemption, that is our deliverance and our salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sins and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin. I love that. Next time Satan comes around to you and tries to tell you that you're not saved or makes you feel guilty because you sinned, pull out this verse right here. Okay, this is a trick of Satan to get you down. He's going to try to make you feel guilty. Oh, woe is me. I've been there. And you have too. And if you let him, he'll get you down for days. But in verse 7 he says, and complete. Now what is complete? It's finished, it's done, it's over with. It's all done. complete pardon of our sins in accordance with the riches of His grace. We can say amen and go home right now. You see, this is the wonder of our redemption. It's all through Christ. Hallelujah. And this is what Christ did for me on the cross. It's what Christ did for me. But you see, the blessed wonder of our inheritance is that all that the Lord Jesus can be in me, not only for me, but in me through His Holy Spirit. A realization of my untold and unlimited resources in Christ brings the rest of my life, it should bring it into a real, true perspective. Because when you evaluate your daily life against the glory of your inheritance in Christ, not only does the vitamin of inheritance put me into the richness of a new relationship of Christ, it should also challenge us into a growing awareness of the relationship that the Lord Jesus has with me. Wow. You know, it never ceases to amaze me all the X number of religions in the world. One of the largest is the Muslims, Islam, and Mohammed is their prophet or whatever. Somewhere in the world, his bones is rotted. He's gone. This fat guy in the Middle East somewhere, Buddha, they call him. Not Bubba, is it? Buddha. He's dead. All these other gods that there is dead. Except for who, Randy? Our Lord. Our Jesus is alive, isn't He? He lives right here. He's in here. You see, you and I have a real living relationship with a living God. The only God. That's right. A real living relationship. There's no other religion in the world that can tell you this. Their gods are dead. Ours is alive and living in you and I and knows you has been born again. You've experienced this as a reality in your life. There's no devil in hell that's going to tell you any different. Because you know that. Wow. A personal relationship with a living God. And He has given you a real and living inheritance. You and I are spiritual millionaires. I guess million today is not that much money. I guess we should say billionaire. And you know, I don't think we'll ever be able to spend all of our inheritance. It's so big. Let's look at the same chapter of Ephesians in the first one. Drop down to verse 15. Now, okay, let me read it. For this reason, verse 15, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17, I always pray that God, our Lord Jesus, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives you a deep, personal, and intimate insight into the true knowledge of Him. For we know the Father through the Son. Wow. Paul, this is the beginning of a prayer of Paul, that Paul is asking God something special for the Ephesian Christians. Into the true knowledge. you and I can know without a shadow of a doubt and have full and complete knowledge of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that lives in us because of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has given you and I that reality. And He's made it real in our life. Doing just what the Scripture tells us that He is going to completely and continuously point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What an inheritance. Now, let's go over verse 18. Paul continues on. He says, "And I pray that the eyes of your heart..." Now, you remember what our heart is? The soul? Remember the three circles? That middle circle, your heart, your soul. He says, "And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope and divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you, the riches of His glory, glorious inheritance in the saints of God's people." Now, did you notice there's a second use of this word inheritance? You see how different it is from the word in verse 11? In verse 11, it's "my inheritance." And in verse 18, is "His inheritance in me." You see, the vitamin of inheritance has a two-way effect. First, it exposes all the resources of Christ to me. Verse 19, Paul goes on and he says, "And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe." These are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength. This is my inheritance. The immeasurable and unlimited greatnesses of God. And the greatness and the power of God. It's all ours. How much do you think the world would pay for that? How much do you think the world, if they could, would pay for the riches that you own? You know, we have what's called riches in this world. Gold, silver, diamonds, land, big buildings, mammoth corporations, and all this stuff. And I'm not saying it's anything wrong for you to have this, or if any of you are millionaires or billionaires or whatever. But there's many, many people that have all this, and they're not as rich as you are. They have this countless pounds and pounds of gold and silver, but they don't have the riches that you and I possess in Christ. What kind of value can you put on that? What would they pay? And they spend, many of them spend a lot of money just to try to get this straightened out. Because they're all messed up mentally. They're all messed up every which way, but yet they have a lot of gold and silver. And you and I have just inherited all these riches from God. The only thing that's going to last for all eternity, because all this other stuff one day is going to burn. I don't care how much land you own, one day it's going to go. Okay? You ain't never seen a fire season until what's coming. Okay? We think we're in a drying spell now with a lot of fires and such. And they had big ones out in California some months ago. Ain't seen nothing yet, have we? This is my inheritance. And second, this word, its presence, shows us that all that I am and can be in Him. You see, I have an inheritance, but like many things in the Scriptures, working with God, it's a two-way street. I have an inheritance. He also has an inheritance in me. And this full benefit of this vitamin is only seen when I live up and live in the reality of this double thrust or this two-way effect of this word. You know, you're prepared or you're willing to go the entire length of these teachings of the Word of God, and the fact is that the Lord Jesus also has an inheritance in us. But this could also be very costly, and this could also hurt, and it may harm our pet plans and ambitions that we have in our life. You know, as we begin this study in these vitamins and our God's plan for maturity, the first four letters of the word vitamin, we seamlessly led to what God would do for me. And these last three, and we've got only one more to go next week, and these last three is what God could do through me. You know, we as believers, we have to understand, first of all, in our lives is what God done for me. And when this comes into a full perspective, it's no longer what God has done for me. Now we can take this and what we can do for Him by allowing Him to perform and work these vitamins through us. We've seen not long ago the vitamin of mercy that we've seen that it was a two-way thing. It was in my response to God and also in my reaction to those around me, whoever they may be. And in a similar way, this powerful vitamin of inheritance will only be evident in all its fullness in my life. That's when I'm drawing on all the potential of Christ. Not only in drawing on all the potential of Christ, but when my humanity is in fullness and set at His disposal. When I allow God to collect His inheritance, when I allow God to work His inheritance through me. But that's kind of the clincher. A lot of believers don't want to do that. The reason they don't want to do it is because it takes them out of the way and puts Christ there instead. It takes away their will and puts in the will of God. We got to remember that God is not going to call you to do something that you don't want to do. We'll take a minute and look at the story of the lost inheritance. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we just went over a couple of these verses not too long ago. Before we get into the story of the lost inheritance, we want to remember what the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 6 says, that these things are the writings and admonitions of took place as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. What Paul is talking about here as in the Old Testament, the Old Testament is God's picture book. It's going to show us and teach us many lessons that we need to learn in our daily experience. And Paul says that these things and these warnings were given to us. And then in verse 11, he goes down, he says, now these things happened to them as examples and warnings to us, that they were written for our instruction, to admonish and equip us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In other words, Paul is saying, go back in the Old Testament, look what happened, look at the mistakes these people made, and learn from them. Don't make the same mistake. Now, Paul is writing this to us. So the things that happened in the Old Testament are for our benefit. Now, the story of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt is the story of the lost inheritance. Their inheritance was Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. The tragedy of their deliverance was the way that they fell short of God's plan. They were delivered from Egypt, but they were never delivered into Canaan. Turn into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter, in verses 20 to 25. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses due to time. But verses 20 to 25, this is God's promise of their inheritance. Now, the purpose of their redemption was to bring them out of bondage into their inheritance that God had promised them. The resulting tragedy of their deliverance was what they had. They had enough faith to get them out of Egypt, but not enough to enter into Canaan and claim their inheritance. Now, Paul gives us warning of this. Learn from this. Deuteronomy was written in the wilderness at the end of the 40 years of wandering. Turn a couple pages over to the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, he says, "For you have not yet come to the resting place and to the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in security." God had given Israel an inheritance. If they would have took this inheritance and done what God told them to do, then they could rest. They had the deliverance, but they didn't have the inheritance. Because they didn't have the inheritance, they could not enjoy the rest. Now, the New Testament teaches us that you and I are to rest in Him. You know, I notice it more today than I did 50 years ago. But after you work all day, or work, my days are half days now, along about noon, out under my carport, I call it my office. Mary Jane knows what I'm talking about. I was sitting out in my rocking chair in a carport one day, and my oldest daughter called me and said, "What are you doing, Dad?" I said, "I'm doing office work." She goes, "What?" I said, "I'm doing office work." She said, "What do you mean? You ain't never worked in an office a day of your life." I said, "Yeah, I know, but since I've retired, I've always wanted to do office work. So I have an office. I got a couple of rocking chairs, and I sit out here and do office work." Then I proceeded to tell her, "I've got a secretary too, but she goes to Walmart an awful lot, you know." But I know after I've gone out in the garden or around the yard mowing or whatever, it just feels good to come in and sit down in the shade and rest. You know, there's not much difference, folks, in our spiritual life when things get tough in our life or there's some problems come along in our life that we could just sit down and rest in Him. Knowing and understanding, because this is what the Scriptures told us, that He wants us to know and understand all these things, that He's going to enlighten us. Knowing and understanding, folks, that there's not a problem that you and I encounter in our lives that God can handle. Amen. That alone, if we could just sit down and rest in that alone, would take away all fear and all worry. But a lot of us don't do that. You see, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us to examine these stories carefully. And in these stories, is this your life? We need to enter into our own spiritual inheritance. That is the fullness and the bountiless resources of Christ. We have that inheritance. We can rest in Him. I just had something this week, relatively minor, come up, and it was just so nice. Well, Lord, you take care of this. I'm not. You take care of it. Within minutes, He did. He took care of it. And the longer that the Lord allows me to live, the more He's proven this in my life. If I just rest in Him, I don't care what it is, folks. Guys, if you can't get your chainsaw started, ask the Lord to start it for you. And give it another pull or two. You'd be surprised how many times it'll start working. I'm not exaggerating. Not long ago, I lost something. Well, Lord, if it's this important, you're going to have to help me find it. And you know what? I almost tripped over it. Folks, sometimes it's the little things in life that God can show you He's real. Don't have to be big, blown-up things and exciting things that you could write a book on or anything. It's a lot of time, it's the little things in life. You ever been going down a highway and God tell you to slow down or stop and get gas, and you do that and you get on down, is a bad wreck? If you allow Him, He'll speak to you. I've come down 95 several years ago in a van pulling a big, heavy, double axle trailer. I said to Debbie, I think we'll pull in here and get gas. Would you need it? And I said, well, no, but I guess we need to get some. Let's just go on down a couple more exits. I said, yeah, we get a little further south, a little closer to home. I'll go on down. So come up on this exit just at the last, I mean, literally, folks, the last second, God says, get your gas here. I went, it's like this. I thought you were going to the next one or two. No, I decided to get it here. So slow down to a stop. Pulls out, 5 mile an hour, 2 mile an hour, you know, you go over the curve, and right there was the gas station. So just kept on turning over the hump into the gas station, and all of a sudden the van went like this. I go, what in the world was that? So I just stopped. I mean, I wasn't going a mile or two an hour. I got out, I walked around the back of the van. And where that big heavy trailer was connected on the trailer hitch, you know where the ball was at, that little flat piece, you couldn't have sheared that flat piece off with a saw. It just, and the chains that was holding it pushed the van like this. 100 yards from where God says, He almost took an angel and made me turn. Wasn't 100 yards, that thing broke. Now, what if I'd been going down 60 mile an hour down the highway and it would have done that? And we got a good God. Doesn't he do that? It's the little things, folks, in life like that. I got a habit. I don't even pull out on my dirt road and cross a little road out asking God to keep me from doing something stupid. I talk to him. I talk to him a lot. That's my inheritance. I can do that. Israel's inheritance is a land flowing with milk and honey. Our inheritance is a land flowing with might and true joy. Many Christians today wander in their own private wilderness of want instead of entering into the sufficiency of Christ. The unhappy history of the children of Israel is because they didn't enter into their inheritance. God was not able to enter into his. Because the children of Israel didn't enter into their inheritance, God couldn't enter into his. Deuteronomy 4:20, 9:29, 32:9. You see, Israel had an inheritance. So did God. God was denied the possibility of using them as his inheritance. And if I exclude in my life this vitamin of inheritance from my daily spiritual diet, I lose out. And so does God. You know, we need to come to the place where we realize that I'm the vehicle that he is going to fulfill his promises. People, think of yourself. You're nothing but a vehicle. I also put it this way. All I am and all you are is a child of God. We're just a container. That's all. You're just a container. All the purposes of God and all of his inheritance is to be brought and put into this container in you and I for his inheritance to use. You and I are his inheritance, and he should be as excited about using his inheritance as you would be if you went to that mailbox tomorrow morning and found out from them law offices that you just inherited millions. It would change your life. Well, if you fully understand what your inheritance, your spiritual inheritance is, and now you're spiritual millionaires, it should change your life. It should change my life. Wow. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that you have given us the knowing that we have an inheritance in you. And also that you have an inheritance to us, that we may be willing to give up our will, that you may be able to collect your inheritance, and all that is in you is in us, that you could be who you want to be through us, and that we may learn to be what we have become. Father, once again, I give thanks for your word. I give thanks for your Holy Spirit that opens up your word and reveals to us and gives us understanding that we are complete in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a living God, that you are in us, and we are in you. In Christ's name, amen.